front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. And we're here at Bad Camp. We're going behind the screens with Greg Anderson from Pantheon. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great.
So what do you have going on at Pantheon these days? What are you working on?
Well, actually, right now I'm spending a lot of time preparing for the RC1 release of Drush 9. And I'm very fortunate that Pantheon sponsors a lot of my time to give back to the community. So my title at Pantheon is Open Source Contributor. I'm also on the platform structure team, which means I spend a lot of time working on the back end of the system. But recently there was this little thing called Drupal 8.4.0 that came out, and someone had the great idea that says, hey, I know what I should do. I should start using Symfony 3, because Symfony 3 is better than Symfony 2. And, so they did this in core, and it mostly worked in Drush, but, you know, we started noticing, you know, we're using Drush, and, you know, we thought we smelled something. It smelled like something was burning, and, you know, we looked behind Drush, and there was, like, a thin little bit of smoke coming out the back. We looked a little bit more closely. It's like, oh, my God, Drush is on fire. What? It's Symfony 3. Symfony 3 set Drush on fire. So this was a little bit before Vienna, and we looked into like all of the different things we could do, and we're like, you know, the old Drush is, you know, it's been around for 11 years and it's got a lot of technical debt, and the Symfony 3 thing is really kind of getting us down. I know what we should do. We should rewrite the entire Drush runtime to use Symfony Console. So that's what we did, and we just kind of like took out the runtime that was there before, and we'd been planning this for a long time, and Moshe had already rewritten all of the commands in this new adapter layer that was ready to have Symfony Console inserted in underneath. But once we dropped out our old runtime, a lot of these commands were still relying on stuff that was dependent on the old runtime. So we had a lot of refactoring to do, but it felt really good to do it because, you know, the old Drush would have these really long, 2,500 line files of sitealias.inc of just individual functions that don't really but vaguely relate to each other, and one functional area would call another functional area that wasn't really supposed to. And now we've got all of that stuff rewritten in classes and wired together with dependency injection, and it all came together pretty nicely because we built it on top of Robo, which is a task runner for PHP that's written on top of Symfony Console, and it has capabilities like configuration in YAML files and annotations for making hooks and various things like that. So it was a phenomenal success, and there was a period of time where I felt like at Vienna we were either going to have slides or working code by the time we got on stage, and not both. But somehow it came to pass that we had both slides and working code, and we had a really strong beta to show to people. And so far we've had pretty good feedback from the community. We've had a lot of people porting the old Drush commands to the new format because the new Drush doesn't recognize the old Drush commands. And we did think about doing a compatibility layer, but the old Drush was just a huge, there was no API per se. Their API was any function in Drush, and so we couldn't really predict who was going to call what, and we would have had to take all of that stuff along, and we just want to get rid of it. So clean break in Drush 9, and we're still working. We announced that we were hoping to do an RC1 around Bad Camp time. It kind of looks like we're converging, that that's likely to happen. We didn't get it done just before Bad Camp, but maybe a week or two after Bad Camp. And after that, we're not planning on doing RCs for a year. We're going to maybe, you know, just let it bake for a couple of weeks, and then hopefully we'll have a 900 stable out soon.
Excellent. So by the time that this episode goes live, it's very likely that there will be an RC1 out ready to go for Drush 9.
Yeah, entirely likely. We'll keep our fingers crossed and see how it goes. We're down to just a few commands, and then, of course, we have all of our aspirational goals. So at a certain point in time, we just, you know, you have to draw the line in the sand and say, okay, this is stable and we're going to live with it. I wrote a blog a couple of years ago, Don't Fear the 1.0. You should Google it. You know, because sometimes you get this fear of completion. It's like, oh, you know, if I label it stable, then I have to maintain backwards compatibility, and I'm not ready for that. I can't be ready for that. And sometimes people, I've seen projects do an entire new stable release. Like, you know, they'll just take a year to get to stable. And what they should have done is drawn the line in the sand and said, we're stable here, and then they can always make another fine release over the next 6 to 12 to 18 months. It's a good period of time. You know, for something big like Drush that a lot of people use, we don't like to do a stable release more than every year or so. But in our experience, a year goes by really quickly.
Yeah, I bet.
So, you know, it takes a while to have the master branch evolve to the state where it can go stable. So we don't worry that much about committing to the backwards compatibility, because it's going to take us a long time to build whatever the next thing is. And we're really looking forward, now that we have the object-oriented Drush and there's a well-defined API and a path forward, that people aren't going to have to keep writing their commands over again. We should be able to, you know, continue to maintain that as time goes forward.
Excellent. So if I have Drush commands that I've written for my own project to help with, you know, deployments or, you know, project-specific things, and it's been working great up through Drush 8, I'm going to need to rewrite those if I want to use Drush 9 now.
Yeah, that's right. But we've got a generator, and the generator will look at the command that you already wrote, and then it'll scaffold up a new command file, and it'll have all of your old commands defined, and they'll just have an empty implementation. And so then you just have to go back and copy the implementation over and find your old, you know, Drush get options and convert that to a more modern API. And, you know, we'll start blogging about that. And people have already started doing it, so we're going to have more and more examples in the community that you can go and peek at if you want to do it. So really, you know, your commands are going to be the easy part. The harder part is if you have a site and it has a lot of contrib modules that have a lot of Drush commands in them. And then in that case, you're probably going to want to stick with Drush 8 for a little while until all of those can get ported by the community. Or if you're really motivated, you can help port them yourself, because it's not that hard to do. But there's only a few score Drush commands for Drupal 8.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's exciting. I can't wait to get into that. That's one of the things, as I do write a lot of Drush commands for myself, and I have a few plugins that I've shared back to the community, but I've always wanted to have it be more direct, like object-oriented from the core.
Right.
You know, there are pieces in there that rely on that, but I'm very excited now that you've gone through and like given a complete rewrite and sort of brought it up into that modern framework.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting to see. I'll keep an eye out for that, and we'll put links into the show notes about the article that you wrote and the progress of the project. So if somebody wanted to jump in and help with some of the porting or working on some testing, where would they go?
Oh, yeah, we always encourage people to participate, and if they have something in mind already, they can just submit a PR right into the GitHub project. We always are happy to see people contributing in that way. And if people are more like, I'm not sure how this is working yet, but I would like to learn and contribute, we've got a Drush channel on Slack, so you can just pop in there and we'll see it. There's also a Drush channel on IRC. I'm not there very often because my IRC client argues with the rest of my operating system, and I don't keep it running very often, but I think Moshe is there a lot. So, and then, of course, we're both on Twitter, so if you just hashtag Drush or at mention Drush CLI, then we'll see that too. There's lots of ways you can get in touch with us, and we're really always willing to help people come up to speed on this stuff.
Fantastic. So if you could give a piece of advice to somebody who's wanting to maybe start writing Drush commands, they really enjoy the tool and they want to get in and participate in it, what's one thing you would suggest to somebody to start off with?
Oh, just look at what's already there. I mean, that's a great piece of advice no matter what you're doing. Even way back in the Macintosh days when I first started doing this stuff, people were saying, oh, no one really remembers how to write a Macintosh application. They just take an application that was already written and they copy it and then they change the inside so it does what they want. And that's a basic tried and true technique that's not going to outgrow us no matter how many different times we change our domain.
Right. Very cool. That's great advice. I think how I wrote my first Drush command was I took something else and copied, paste, rewrite the logic, change the name, and there you go.
It's the best way.
Very nice. So I'm going to take this and kind of flip it over now a little bit. We've been talking a lot about work and what you've been working on, but what would you do if you woke up tomorrow and, let's just say, the internet disappeared?
Well, I'm actually very well positioned for this scenario because when I'm not working on the internet, I actually spend a lot of time in historic recreation societies, and this is actually coming up as my 16th season as an improv performer at the Great Dickens Christmas Fair, where we dress up in Victorian clothing, and basically what we do, not the whole fair, but our particular role in the fair is we teach people how to dance. We dance the waltz and we dance the mazurka and their English country dances. Certainly dancing would be a fun way to spend my time. But if I needed to do something a little bit more practical, perhaps some steampunk Babbage engine might sort of satisfy my technical urges without actually needing an actual computer. And if that was too difficult, I can always go back a few hundred years because I also participate in something called the Society for Creative Anachronism, where we dress up in medieval time clothing and reenact the Middle Ages. And arts and crafts are really big there. So there's a lot of things that I've wanted to do in the SCA that I just haven't had time for. In fact, you might not believe this off the top, just on face value, but blacksmithing is really fun. You know, if you just have a really heavy hammer and you hit a piece of hot metal over and over again and it turns into some awful twisted shape because you're a terrible blacksmither, as I currently am, it's still terribly fun. And I would like to be able to do this enough times that I could make something that didn't look like a terribly twisted sheet of metal. So I would be actually fairly happy if I had the excuse of not having an internet anywhere. In fact, for our son, we sometimes do this. We just turn the internet completely off so he has to forget about it, because sometimes it's a struggle in his brain to pull himself away from the video games and pull himself away from the internet. But if it's actually off, then he disengages and he's back in the real world. And it's one of the reasons we do SCA. We drag him out into the woods. We have camping events, and there's literally no internet. We have to go to these classes where we learn how to do arts and crafty kind of things. So that's what I would do.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. I love that. Just turn the internet off and have just internet free, tech free night. And those are some fantastic. I'm a little scared that you're ready to go right away. We kind of need you to hang around for a little while, Greg. But that sounds like...
Maybe I could come back and visit the internet every now and then. Yeah. But we actually practice that every single day. We have a little light timer plugged into the wall, and our internet router and the switch are plugged into that. And at 9:40 p.m., the internet switches off for the whole family. Adults and kids don't use the internet, and we get ready for bed, and we go to sleep. So now we don't have this glowing screen in front of our eyes keeping ourselves awake. We know the internet is going to come back on in the morning when we wake up. So we go to bed on time, we wake up early, and are ready to go.
I really like that idea. Yeah. I might steal that and take that home with me.
I think all of your listeners should just try this for a while because it's really amazingly great. I mean, sometimes it's frustrating when you're trying to finish something and you see the time is going towards 9:40, but you get used to it and the internet's going to come back in the morning, and it really makes for a more relaxing evening.
I bet. Yeah. Wow, that's a great idea. All right, well, we're going to do two more questions. First will be, is there... I always say that we all got here with a little help from somebody else. The community is always there to support us. Can you think of somebody you would like to say thank you to or share some gratitude with who maybe gave you a boost when you needed it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely I'd like to thank Moshe Weitzman because he pretty much ushered me into this whole Drupal community. I came into Drupal through Drush, and I just started contributing on the queue, and Moshe was super welcoming and really taught me a lot about Drush, and by looking at how Drush commands were implemented, that's how I learned about the Drupal API. So if I wanted to do something in Drupal, I'd go like, oh, I know how to do that in Drush. There's a Drush command for that. Look at the code, and I'd be up and going, and he's always been super helpful to help me work through hard spots and, just be there as a mentor at DrupalCon and provide encouragement for keeping this crazy tool we've both been working on for so many years alive and kicking.
That's excellent. I'd like to say thank you to him, too, for helping you out, because I know I rely so heavily on this tool for so much of my workflow day-to-day, so I'm glad that you're able to put that work in and that you've got somebody like that as a good mentor to help you along the way. All right, well, Greg, thanks for taking a few minutes for talking with us today. This is great.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
If you're looking to level up your Drupal chops, check out Drupalize Me. Drupalize Me lets you learn Drupal whenever and wherever you need to, with written and video tutorials that cover the full range of Drupal topics. Whether you're just jumping into Drupal or you're a seasoned developer, we are here to help. Check us out at drupalize.me. Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Screens. If you have any ideas for future segments or topics or any comments, reach out on Twitter at VoicesBTS or shoot me an email at chris@lullabot.com. Don't forget to pop onto iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Until next time.